may be seated.
Good morning. And welcome to worship this morning. I'm a wee bit excited today. It's a special Sunday. Anyway, welcome today to Mike, who's going to lead worship for us. And as you all know, we've got a special day today with the baptism of Mark and Neil. I'm looking forward to that. Just a couple of intimations that we need to just go over. Firstly, we've had our church shop, and as you know, it was on the intimations there, but £2,249.79. Wasn't that absolutely amazing? I know it's a lot of work, but it absolutely is great. See, for the people that come along just for the social aspect, I know, as I say, it is a lot of work for everybody. But thank you to everybody that's came and helped, bought things, whatever. Thank you very much. It really is appreciated. So we're coming up into Christian Aid Month. So the activities are all listed on your ordinary service. You can take it away and have a think about anything that you would like to be involved in. We've got an online prayer course starting. It's Mike that's organising that. You can do it through Zoom, and the details were on the screen. But if you want the link, if you contact me and I can send it directly, that's no problem. And one official piece of business from Presbytery. So we've received a citation from the Presbytery of Forth Valley in Clydesdale. The congregation of Forth St Paul's is hereby cited to attend the ordinary meeting of Presbytery, 10 a.m. on Saturday the 25th of April at Kirk of the Cross, Motherwell. This is regarding the deliverances being brought to Presbytery as follows. Note that following discussions with the Kirk Sessions, the committee will have further discussions with a view to amending the Presbytery Mission Plan in relation to clusters S7, which is Dalserf, Crisford and Kirkfieldbank, Overton, cluster S8, South Wishaw and Wishaw Newkirk, cluster S9, Carnwath, Kirsteers, Forth St Paul's, Lanark St Nicholas, and cluster CA1, Lanark Greyfriars and Hamilton St John's. And they approve the replacement of our wooden framed windows in Forth St Paul's at a cost of £33,000, excluding the VAT, to be paid from the proceeds of the sale of the manse. Notes that a determination has been made by the General Trustees authorising the sale of Forth St Paul's manse 22 Lerig Forth, which is in the process happening at the moment. And if we need any other information, if you just let me know and I'll get the answers to any questions. And I know you'll all be rushing to get to that meeting, won't you? But Mike has told me you can join it online if you want. On that morning, it'll go live on their website if you want to attend it. So that's the official business over. Mike, I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Wonderful, Margaret. It is a special day today. We come together to worship God, and our first hymn is a hymn that reminds us of who this God is. He's not a God who's aloof, sitting way up in the sky, but he's a God who loves us, who has come down to serve. He is the servant king. So let's stand and sing together the servant king. Let's approach God in prayer. Let's come before God. Gracious God, God of all compassion and of all justice, your breath alone brings life to dry bones and weary souls. And this morning, Lord, many of us feel dry and weary. We've been knocked around by life. We've been knocked around this week. But today is a new day. Today is the start of a new week. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives. And this day is the day that you rose again. And so we ask you to come and pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us, that we may face everything up ahead, even despair and death, with the hope of resurrection. That we too may rise with Christ Jesus our Lord, and through his power we may be more than conquerors. Lord, come and help us to dance into this coming week with the breath of life in our lungs. Help us to dance with your Spirit, who calls us out of the valley of dry bones and into the kingdom of light and life. And we pray together now the prayer that our risen Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Do you remember 2 weeks ago, what did we celebrate? Easter, that's right. We celebrated that Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, and then he rose again on Easter Day. And Easter is not just about bunny rabbits and chocolate eggs. It's not even just an excuse for a holiday. Easter, the rising of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, is the bedrock, the foundation of our Christian faith. Christian people believe that Jesus died and rose again, and his dying and rising changes everything, absolutely everything. Jesus' new life means that we too can have new life right now, today, right here. Jesus' new life points to the fact that one day God will make everything new in the kingdom of his Son. That is his promise, and that is our hope. But how? How does Jesus' new life, his death and his resurrection, change things for us, for you and me? Well, that's what this service this morning is all about. Neil and Mark have experienced Jesus changing their lives. And this morning they come to tell us about that and share with us the possibility of that being so for any of us. If we put our trust in Jesus, any of us can be changed by him and receive his promise that all things will be changed and we will have a place in his kingdom when it comes. Let's listen to God's word as it is found in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 11. The Apostle Paul writes there, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live to new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly, certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Now, neither Neil nor Mark were baptized as babies, which is often done or has been done in the past in our community. That turns out to be a fortunate thing, because it's meant that Neil and Mark have both had the opportunity in the last little while to discover Jesus and the Christian faith for themselves. And today, having trusted in Jesus, they come to be baptized. A baptism of believers, baptism of those who have come to faith on their own accord, was the practice of the early church. We have frescoes painted in the catacombs there in Rome of adults being baptized, sometimes having water poured over them, but more often than not, them being immersed and going fully under the water like we are going to do this morning. What baptism means is symbolized most clearly in this way of immersion into the water. As we heard from our passage from the letter to the Romans, baptism is about dying to our old way of life and dying to what we trusted in the past, maybe ourselves, maybe something else, trusted in to get us through life. And in baptism, that dying is symbolized by going under the water. And then baptism is also about being raised again with Jesus, rising to new life in him. And that's symbolized in baptism by coming up from the water into new life. Now, in the ancient tradition, the baptismal candidate, that would be Neil and Mark, they would remove all their clothes and go down in the water and then come up on the other side and be handed new clothes. Again, symbolizing leaving the past behind and entering into a new and different life. And those being baptized would also be given a new name. Again, symbolizing losing their old identity and gaining a new one in Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to ask Neil and Mark to strip off this morning, and they won't have to go and change their name by deed poll after this is done. But because of their faith in Jesus, they are new creations. The Apostle Paul declares, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone trusts in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And this, I believe, is the case for both Neil and for Mark. And they're going to come now and tell us a bit of the story of how that came to be. So first Neil and then Mark, okay.
Hi everybody, my name's Neil.
And turn that up, you're
tall. My name's Neil and this is my testimony. So I'm somewhat a newcomer to faith and belief. Maybe about a year and a half now. So I was never raised a Christian or I have faith in God. But I was raised by my mum and dad and they always taught me well, I'd say, and they always tried their best for me. But I was, unfortunately, I was always one of the find it the hard way sort of guys. So when I got older and I started to make my own money and make my own decisions in life, it only led down a path of destruction, really. It never really brought me true peace or happiness, doing what I wanted to do and doing what I thought was right. So I ended up falling down to a line of addictions. I'd done a lot of evil, done a lot of bad to a lot of people as well, a lot of stuff that I regret. And I realised that it wasn't right. So I started to look for something a bit more meaningful to life. I always thought there was a greater meaning to this life that we have rather than taking it for face value. So I'd considered myself spiritually minded for at least a few years before I came to know God. And so I started looking for answers. It was actually a conversation that I was having with Mark one day, and he told me to look into a Bible for answers and stuff like that. So that's what I done. I started reading the New Testament, the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Started to learn about Jesus, who he was, and what he done for everybody in this life. And by believing in him and what he done and dying on the cross and rising again, that we may all have eternal life and salvation from everything that we've done in this life. No matter what you've done, there's always salvation for everybody. So ever since then, I say around about that time that God, by God's grace, he sent his Holy Spirit to me. He started to change my life, change my desires in my life. I no longer wanted to do what I used to do, what I thought was good, but rather I started praying and asking for him, for his will to be my will, so I could do what pleased him and not what pleased me, because at the end of the day it never really truly brought me happiness. But by the grace of God, I've found true peace and happiness through God, and ever since then, about a year and a half, I've been attending the Fourth Church, and I've been welcomed by everybody here, a very loving community, and I thank yous all for that, and yous have all helped me a lot to grow in my faith and to get to know God better. So all praises to God. Thank him for all of this, and thank everybody as well for helping me through everything. So amen to that. Thank you.
Morning everybody, I'm Mark, I'm the other guy getting wet today. I just want to share a bit of my story. Before I came to Christ, I wasn't living right. I was an evil person. I was making a lot of bad choices. I was drinking a lot. I drank every day. I took a lot of drugs. I was fighting, I was stealing, I was manipulating people. I was just a horrible, horrible person. I was only ever happy when I was intoxicated by some sort of substance, and it wasn't the person I should have been. And to be honest, I didn't see a way out of it. The truth is, I couldn't fix myself, and I wanted to get better. But no matter how many times I tried, always fell into the same patterns and the same routines, hanging about with the bad people, and then I found God, and I was a bit sceptical at first, so I bought a Bible, and I was reading it, and I was trying to learn how to pray in that, and I was asking him for stuff that I thought would bring me peace and happiness. But it says in Matthew 6:8, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And God gave me what I needed, not what I asked for. He brought me Gemma. That's Gemma in Kingston. That's a handsome wee fella there. And Kingston's really spiritual, so we used to have conversations about scripture when he was only 3 years old, and he'd ask me questions and he'd tell me stories that his granddad told him. And that really strengthened my faith and helped me along in my spiritual journey. And then God gave me my daughter Dallas. That's that wee short lassie there. She when she was just a baby, she'd lie in the nook of my arm when I was reading the Bible. And I'd read the Bible sometimes. I'd read it quietly or I'd read it to her. And I came across a couple verses that Mike's already said one, but I'll say it again. And they really speak to me. The first one's from 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. And that's what happened to me. I didn't just try to become better, I became new. And the other one is John 8:36. It says that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's the freedom I found in my journey. It wasn't perfect, it wasn't overnight, but it's real. I'm still growing and still learning, but I'm not the person I used to be. Jesus changed my life, and I'm grateful for every day for him and for the chance to be a better man and a better dad. Thanks for listening.
Wow. Really, you don't need to hear any more from me. That's the most powerful message we can receive. Jesus commanded us as a church in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded. And so obeying his command ourselves and confident of his promises to us, we baptize those. As a church, we baptize those whom God calls. In baptism, God claims us and he seals us to show that we belong to God, gives us that new name. By faith, God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice in the world. So this morning, as we celebrate this sacrament of baptism, can we all, those of us, all of us who were baptized, now remember with joy our baptism, that we too have a place in Christ? Neil and Mark, will you come? One at a time. And if you enter in there, yes, take your socks off. We don't need to get those wet. How's the water? Isn't that what you say at the pool? How's the water in there? Not yet. We'll stand at this bit. Okay. I've got some questions for Neil, his baptismal vows. Neil, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God?
I reject them.
Do you renounce the deceit and the corruption of evil?
I renounce them.
Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor?
I repent of them.
Do you turn to Christ as Savior?
I turn to Christ.
Do you submit to Christ as Lord?
I submit to Christ.
Do you come to Christ the way, the truth, and the life?
I come to Christ.
Now, if you can sit down. Neil, because you have believed in your heart and declared with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, I am honored to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Mark, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God?
I reject them.
Do you renounce the deceit and the corruption of evil?
I renounce them.
Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor?
I repent of them.
Do you turn to Christ as your Savior?
I turn to Christ.
Do you submit to Christ as your Lord?
I submit to Christ.
Do you come to Christ the way, the truth, and the life?
I come to Christ.
Sit down. Come this way. Mark, because you believe in your heart and have declared with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, we're going to sing a hymn and they're going to get changed and come back. Okay, our hymn is "The Savior Died But Rose Again," number 425 in your hymn books. The Savior died but rose again. going to watch a video now while they're still getting dressed. It's the blessing.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn
Could you kneel? Now, this kneeler is usually for wedding couples, but this is not a wedding, guys. You're not getting married. I don't do that kind of wedding. But I want to pray for you to receive or be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only does Jesus come to live in your hearts, but his Spirit does too. We'll be talking a bit about that later. To give you strength and power and guidance in your lives. But Jesus says we need to ask for the Holy Spirit, and we need his filling all the time. So we're going to ask that the Holy Spirit will fill you now. And I'm going to anoint you with oil. Just like there's nothing magic in the water there, there's nothing magic in this oil. But it's a symbol of the Spirit's presence. It smells nice. So that's part of the symbolism, the smell of the oil. So let me pray for you. Gracious God, God of all compassion and justice, your breath alone brings life to us. And I ask this morning that you would breathe onto my brothers here your Holy Spirit, unto Neil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and unto Mark. I anoint you with the symbol of the cross. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your saints, that they might grow into the fullness of Christ in their lives. Anoint them with power, that they might be used by you in your kingdom purposes. Lord, glorify yourself through them. I pray for their families, that they too would know the blessing of having these servants of God in their midst. Pray for their workplaces, and that those they work with would be blessed because they are with them. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, great. Thank you. You may be seated now. Now, Neil and Mark have put their faith in Jesus because they have believed in their hearts and proclaimed that Jesus is Lord. They are Christians. That is the definition of a Christian. A Christian is someone who says to Jesus, "You are my Lord. What you say goes, even if it goes against my culture or what I want. Jesus, your ways are right, and I will follow them with the help of your Holy Spirit." Now, that's being a Christian, but what does that have to do with church, being a member of church? Well, despite what some people may think and say, you can't be a Christian without being part of the church and being part of a local church. If being a Christian is about following Jesus, well, one of the things that Jesus tells us is that we need to be part of his family. And it's in the context of church where we follow him. And together as a church, we follow him in serving the world, serving our community and the whole world. So today, as Neil and Mark have declared their faith in Jesus and their commitment to following him in their lives, they are also going to join our church here at 4th St. Paul's. Being a member of the church comes with certain responsibilities. And in a moment, we, all of the members of our church present this morning, together with our new members, are going to affirm or reaffirm our promises to fulfill those responsibilities. But the most important promise that we make is our promise of faith. Let's make sure that we realize that. It's faith that is first and foremost, a promise that we will cling to Jesus as our only hope and as our Lord and Savior. And our faith as Christians for millennia has been summed up in what we call the Apostles' Creed. And so before we do anything else, we are going to recite this ancient statement of faith together. It's going to appear on the screen, and if you've got a hymn book, it's number 628 in the hymn book as well. You know, it's worth spending time thinking about the meaning of the Apostles' Creed. In my church in Bigger, we did a whole series looking at the Apostles' Creed. Over several Sundays, several months, we looked at it. And people found that really helpful. So maybe one day you can do that here in Fort St. Paul's. But one thing that I find people get hung up on in the creed is found in the second bit of the creed where it says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, Catholic there is not Roman Catholic. Obviously, we are not Roman Catholics. We are Presbyterians. That word Catholic with a small c in the creed is just an old-fashioned way of saying universal. We believe in the fact that everyone in the whole world, in the whole universe, living or dead, whoever trusted in Jesus as Lord is part of our family. That's what we mean when we say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And that includes many Roman Catholics and everyone else who has a true faith in Jesus. Everyone who can say that creed with integrity. So if you are a Christian here this morning, could you please stand and let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And if you are a member of St. Paul's Church, specifically, please remain standing, and I want you to respond in affirmation or reaffirmation to the other promises of membership to our church, together with Neil and Mark for the first time. I will ask the questions in the regular type, and if you will respond in bold. Brothers and sisters, will you be Christ's faithful follower, obeying his word and showing his love? Is it your will to be joined with this local congregation of Christ's church, to share in its witness and fellowship as far as you are able? Yes. Do you promise to be faithful in reading the Bible and in prayer?
I do, with God's help.
Do you promise to give a fitting proportion of your time, talents, and money for the church's work in the world?
I do, with God's help.
Do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to profess publicly your loyalty to Jesus Christ, to serve him in your daily work, and to walk in his ways all the days of your life. Okay, well done. Can we give another round of applause for Mark and Neil? And we're going to sing now the song, This Is the Day. This is the day. Not getting away without a sermon today. But my sermon today, I'm using four chairs. I call this the gospel in four chairs. All right? I've got three chairs over here. They're all stacked on top of each other. I've got another chair here. Now, the three chairs represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God. The three Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united. They are one, hence being stacked up. They're one in purpose. They have a single will. They are love. The Bible says that God is love. And that's what the Trinity is all about there. God is in a relationship of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that at the beginning of time, God was so overflowing with love that he wanted something else to love. And so he created the world and he created you and me because he wanted to love us. And the Bible says that he created us in his own image, male and female, in his own image. So we're a chair as well. We look like God in that respect. What it means to be in his image is that we can speak his language. We can know God. We're made to know him. And there's another illustration that I have that is a lamp. Okay? There's a lamp. The bulb is great. It's got a great base. It's got a wonderful shade. But if it isn't plugged in, it's not really any purpose in it, is it? It's the same with us. We are created like that lamp to be plugged into God and to have a relationship with God. So there you go. We're meant to be like this before God, looking him in the face, him looking us in the face. I love it. In the beginning of the Bible, it talks about God creating Adam and Eve in a garden, and God would come in the cool of the evening to walk with them and talk with them. And I think God wanted to play with them too. God created Adam and Eve. He created you and me because he wants to be in that kind of relationship of love with us. The problem is, as we all know, that Adam and Eve, beginning with Adam and Eve, human beings don't always want to be in a relationship with God. We turn our backs on God. And that's been so from the beginning of time. But God's love was never diminished. God comes looking for us. He wants us. He desires us. And so God, if you look at the history of humankind in the Bible, God comes looking for his people. And he sends calamities, and he sends them into exile as a consequence of them turning their backs on God, so that they could come back, realize the error of their ways, and come back to God. And that's what happens over and over again. God brings folks back. He sends, they turn from him again, and he sends his prophets, and he sends people like Moses who give them his laws, show them what he's like, that he is a God of love, and show them his purposes, that if they live in his ways, it will be good for them. And so they come back when they get prophets like that. But each time God calls his people back in the history of humankind, they turn away again. Finally, God himself. Okay, I'll put you and me over here. Finally, in the Bible it says, God, the Son, Jesus, came, took on the form of a human being himself. He lived our life, and he lived it perfectly. He lived in relationship to the Father and the Holy Spirit in that communion of love that was meant to be our relationship with God. Jesus did it perfectly for us, as a human being for us, on our behalf. And what did we do to Jesus? Good Friday. We killed him. And we put him on the cross. And Jesus died. Well, it was a bit of jujitsu in that. You know jujitsu? It's a martial art. When you come at your opponent with... Well, when your opponent comes at you with all his force, you step out of the way, and his own force is what destroys him or what makes him lose the battle. It's exactly what happened there on the cross. Evil threw everything it had at Jesus, but God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day to defeat Satan and sin and death forevermore. Jesus is united again with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And because of what Jesus did, we can be forgiven of our sins. He lived our life for us. He died our death for us, that we can be free from sin. We've been talking about that already. So here we go. It's as if we've got the opportunity to be in a relationship with God again. But that's not all. This is where I get messed up and have been messed up. I thought, okay, God's forgiven me, and now I have to start again. and I've got to try even harder than I did before. But you know, the problem in my life, I don't know about yours, I'm still often tempted to turn my back on God. If I'm trying in my own strength. But you know, the secret is that this is not the situation now. When we trust in Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus comes to live in us. It's not only his death that's our death, but his life is our life, and his power is our power. And even more than that, it's not just Jesus who comes to live in us. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us, because Jesus is never without the Father and the Spirit. They are united in love. And the Father comes to live within us. We are now united to God. This is the glory of the resurrection and the Christian life. We can depend on God being not just Jesus' daddy, but our daddy too. And his Spirit that gave him power isn't just his Spirit, it's our Spirit too. As Jesus is our Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Now, if you are here this morning and this is all new to you, or maybe the penny is just dropping for you, I'd like to invite you to discover a bit more. In our church in Bigger, we do what's called the Alpha Course, and I think in the future you might do one here. But we've got an Alpha Course starting in September in Bigger, and I'd like to invite you to come along where you can discover all about the Christian faith. So do come and see me after the service, and I'd like to get you set up for doing the Alpha Course, or just come and chat with me about what you've heard this morning, what you've seen from the life of Mark and Neil, and how Jesus has transformed them. He can do the same for anyone, as we've already said. Okay. Moving on here. I even did my talk without my notes. The church is universal, is Catholic in the proper sense. There are 2.5 billion Christians around the world today. 2.5 billion Christians. And we all believe in the one risen Jesus. Yet, we have different traditions. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, they have a tradition where folks come to faith and are baptized, like this morning. And I'd like us to consider this tradition this morning and use it in our prayers. Okay? We're going to be doing some movement. This tradition from the Eastern Orthodox Church has to do with changing directions. Which way is east here? Has anybody got that way? Okay. Most churches are pointed east, but not this church. Okay. It's that way. All right. That makes it easy. And west is that way. In the Eastern Orthodox tradition, direction is really important. East is where the sun rises, and it's also the direction from which the Bible tells us Jesus will return. When people come to give their lives to Jesus for the first time in that tradition, they turn towards the west. Firstly, they turn towards the west. And the west symbolizes the old way of living before the person has trusted Jesus. The west symbolizes darkness and sin. It's not Glasgow that represents darkness and sin and Edinburgh that represents light. No, the west of the west, not Glasgow, okay? The person turns to the west and they renounce the devil and all the evil that is in the world and that has been in his or her heart. And to symbolize giving that way of life up, they spit and they stomp on those things that they are leaving behind. And they lift their hands to show that they don't wish to hold anything back. They want to give up all of that old way of living without God. And then after they've done that, after they've done the renouncing, they turn to the east. And now he or she drops their hands like this as a sign of humility before Christ, as a sign that he or she is ready to obey what their Lord is asking of them. So in our prayers, I'd like us to use the directions of west and east. So could everyone stand up wherever you are? Make sure it's somewhere where you can turn, okay? You don't have to turn a lot. Now let's first turn to the west. And let's close our eyes in prayer. And I'll give you directions as we do this. But be warned, during our prayer, I'm going to ask you to stomp and raise your hands. I'm not, however, going to ask you to spit, because I think the cleaners would not be happy with us. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have come into the world to bring light and life and destroy the works of evil. We confess that there is much in the world that is at odds with your love and mercy and purity. And we also confess that we, each and every one of us, has colluded with what is not right, what is unjust, spiteful, and harmful to ourselves, our neighbors, and the world. So let's take just a moment for the Holy Spirit to help us realize what it is we need to confess and lay aside in our lives. And let's each bring those things before God in our hearts. And now, Lord, we stomp on those things. We stomp on the works of evil in our world. And we stomp on the hatred that has caused violence in Iran, in the U.S., in Israel, Russia, Ukraine, and many other places today. We stomp on everything that goes against the gospel of peace and freedom and joy. Okay, you can stop stomping, and we lift our hands as a sign of giving those things up. We don't want the ways of evil to have any hold on us any longer. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit to be free from these things. Okay, now let's turn to the east, the other way. And let's pray. Risen Lord, we welcome you into our lives, body, mind, and soul. Like the sun rising on a dark and cold world, we ask you to come and give us light. Show us the way to walk. Heal us from our infirmities. Forgive us of our sins. And we hold out our hands in an attitude of receiving, of humility. And Lord, we receive your commandments. We receive your inspiration. We receive your Spirit. You are Lord, and we are not. And we humbly submit to you. And all these prayers we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, the risen and reigning Lord. Amen. Don't sit down. We're going to sing our final song, Thine Be the Glory. We'll have the offering while we're singing this one, and then we'll say a short prayer and a benediction at the end. Thine be the glory. Let's sing together. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for all your gifts to us. And thank you for the opportunity to return to you something of what you have given us. Use what we offer here in church to further your kingdom, both here and in forth and around the world. For we pray in Jesus' name. Just before the benediction, can I say that Mark and Neil will be with me at the door, and can you give them the right hand of fellowship as you leave this morning? Welcome them into the church family here. Let's receive God's blessing. May the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus, provide us with every good thing that we need in order to do his will. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us all evermore.